This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon. Welcome to The Good Life. I'm glad you stopped by KNSS. Hope you had a great week, and the weekend is even better. You know, I get to travel a lot. I get to judge at some major wine competitions, and I met my first guest, Jim Trevise, at the Jerry Mead New World International Wine Competition. It's a great event, and I was struck by Jim's background. At that time, he was doing some really great stuff for the whole scene of promoting New York wines. And if you haven't had the opportunity to see what that's like, go to newyorkwines.org and sign up for the email list. You get a lot of great information. Anyway, so we're going to talk to Jim. Then later in the program, we're going to talk to Jenny Bartels. She's from a great producer of spirits, Breckenridge Distillery out in Colorado. She's going to be here in town for one of our two events that are coming up, a part of the Riverfest. We'll tell you about that. And, of course, I have a wine of the week, but I'm going to talk about that with Jim because it happens to be a New York Riesling from Dr. Constantine Frank. Without further ado, let's talk to Jim. Jim, welcome to The Good Life.
Thank you very much. It's a delight to be with you guys.
Jim, you know, I wish we would have had more time to chat and Jerry Mead. I know that you keep a pretty busy schedule, and goodness, you were running the program at the New York Wine and Grape Foundation for a long time, weren't you?
32 years. We actually created it in 1985 during a crisis in the grape and wine industry in New York State. And our governor at that time, Mario Cuomo, really rescued our industry with a bunch of initiatives, including the creation of the New York Wine and Grape Foundation, the trade association that did research and does research and promotion in support of the grape and wine industry. So I sort of created it with the governor, and I ran it for 32 years.
Wow.
And I just finished, March 31st was my last day, and we had a very well-planned and successful transition. So there's a successor, a guy named Sam Filler, who's now in my seat there at the Wine and Grape Foundation.
And we're going to focus on New York grape growing and spectacular wines from there. But you're also president of Wine America and now president of the International Riesling Foundation. Congratulations on both counts.
Well, thank you. As you can tell, I have a focus on wine, whether it's New York wine or American wine or Riesling wine. But anyway, I love the product, and I love the people who are part of the product and the industry as a whole. So I couldn't be happier. You know, when your work is fun, it's play. And so I'm just basically playing all the time.
Isn't it good to make a living playing? I love that. Tell me a little bit about Wine America. I'm not that familiar.
Wine America is actually protector of the American wine industry. It's the only national organization of American wineries. And it's based in Washington, D.C., although I do all of my work, both for that and the International Riesling Foundation, out of my home on Cuca Lake in the Finger Lakes region of New York State. So Wine America has an office in Washington, and also we contract with a lobbying firm that takes care of us in terms of working with legislators. And it's more important than ever at this time because of the new administration. Or any new administration, wouldn't have to be this one, because there's new players that we have to educate. But some of the things that we are, conquering there are to try to reduce excise taxes for wineries, which would reduce prices for consumers. We're also working on immigration reform, because for a lot of wineries, they really depend on a labor force that includes migrant labor. And there are a number of other issues as well. So it's really the business climate. It's not a consumer organization. It's a winery organization, but it's actually very important to the present and future health of the wine industry nationwide.
Yeah, boy. I knew that it was not a consumer organization, but I didn't know you were that involved in the helping wineries and with immigration stuff, because wineries, the Napa Valley Vendors Association is an example, have done a world of good for helping with that and making events to provide low-income housing and getting the legal aspects of legal temporary immigration to work the harvest, and then some of them go back home, some become permanent residents. It's a great part. We'd be in a world of hurt because finding young American kids to pick grapes would be kind of a challenge, I think.
Well, you're exactly right. And here in the Finger Lakes region of New York, where I am, it used to be that it was, in fact, the local families, you know, the kids in high school or the retirees or other people who did a lot of the work in the vineyards in the different seasons. But that those days are totally gone.
Wow.
And so migrant labor, you think of it only in terms of California, but it's extremely important in New York and many other states as well. So that's a very important thing that we're working on for the industry. And we're hoping we can make some inroads.
Let's talk about New York and grape growing. And I like to focus on the Finger Lakes. I've been there. I've been out to Long Island. I want to focus on the Finger Lakes because I think it's really has the coolest history. And you have pretty much been a part of it from the very beginning. Who was first? Wasn't it Dr. Frank, early 60s, 1961, 62, that started making vinifera?
Yes, very much so. Dr. Frank was a true pioneer, and without his vision and tenacity, we would definitely not be where we are today as an industry. I mean, in the Finger Lakes region, the industry goes back to the 1800s, you know, the 1830s, 1860 was the first winery that opened, and it was a flourishing grape and wine industry, which then was decimated, of course, by Prohibition. It started reviving again after repeal, but one of the things that really catapulted it into prominence today was Dr. Constantine Frank, who was an immigrant, speaking of immigrants, from Europe, and was a specialist in growing grapes in cold climates like the Finger Lakes region of upstate New York. And so despite a whole bunch of skeptics, he proved that it could be done. And one of the toughest sites in the Finger Lakes, high above Keuka Lake, and finally he got some disciples, and the rest has been history. So now there are about 130 wineries in the Finger Lakes region. Virtually all of them make Riesling wines, which is one of the specialty wine. Well, it's not a specialty wine. It's a classic wine, mostly commonly associated with Germany. But the species of grape that Dr. Frank proved could be grown here are called Vitis vinifera, which in effect means classic European grapes.
For folks that are geographically challenged, the Finger Lakes are in upstate New York, not that far south of the Canadian border. And you think, okay, they have winter. They surely do. But talk about the lakes. The lakes really are key to having a growing season that works and moderating some of the cold climate.
Yeah, the lakes are basically nature's heating and air conditioning system. In effect, they moderate the temperature year-round so that in the winter that we're just coming out of, well, we're way out of it now, in the winter, the lakes stay warmer than the air. So that's why you see the grapevines generally planted down by the lakes, because they want to have the warmer air than is up at the higher elevations. In the summer, the lakes are cooler than the air, so that's basically the air conditioning part. And then at this time of year in the spring, the lakes are still cool, so that retards the bud growth, because you don't want the buds on the grapevines to pop out too early in case there's a late frost and they get nipped and there's no crop. So it's really a natural phenomenon that allows us to grow premium wine grapes here in the Finger Lakes that has earned us the international reputation we now have.
Folks, if you've never been, one, it's a great place to go for a wine week and tour around many of the lakes, and there's a lot of resources for that. But one of the things people don't realize is the reason those lakes can do that is these things are prehistoric, carved out of the earth from the Ice Age, and they're deep.
Oh, yeah, they're very deep. Seneca Lake is the deepest of them all, and there are 11 lakes altogether, and they are basically north to south because they were carved out by Ice Age glaciers 10,000 years ago or more than that, and so the glaciers, you know, kept moving south and kept pushing the earth south, and then when the earth warmed up, the ice melted and turned into water, so you had these deep trenches that then became lakes. And you'll see in the Finger Lakes that as you go from the north end of a lake to the south end of the same lake, the hillside gets much steeper and much higher, and that's because the glaciers pushed all of this earth toward the south. And also it gave us some wonderful glacial soils, which are really good for drainage, which the roots of grapevines really need. So it's a glorious area. It's just unbelievably beautiful, the lakes and the vineyards and the forest. And also we have a wonderful Mennonite population, horse and buggy Mennonites, that are great farmers, and so we have great cuisine. It's really a special place that people should visit.
I know that a lot of people in the Northeast that are wine enthusiasts come and visit, but I think it's gotten even more popular. You know, there's a lot of great restaurants, there's some really cool places to stay, and it's kind of like then, you know, Napa 20 years ago, Napa 30 years ago, as far as a wine tourist destination, and getting better. Like you said, how many wineries are we got today included in the all of Finger Lakes?
It's well over 130, and just along Seneca Lake, which is the largest one I just mentioned, there's about 60 along that lake already. And what's different, though, Guy, is that it doesn't have a crowded feeling like Napa Valley does. Nothing against Napa Valley. It's a wonderful region. But Seneca Lake is about the same size as Napa Valley, about 35 miles long. Napa Valley, there's over 300 wineries. Seneca Lake, there's 60. So you don't have the same concentration of wineries, and it still has a very rural feel to it. You know, plus you have the beauty of the lakes and that kind of thing. So it's actually, I would say we're not where Napa was 20 years ago. I'd say we're where Napa was about 5 years ago.
And yeah.
We're catching up so fast because as people see the success of other people, whether it's in a winery or whether it's a new restaurant using local foods and that kind of thing, there's a lot of imitation going on, which is the sincerest form of flattery. And so now, whereas this used to be a wasteland for good food, now it is a culinary capital.
A wasteland for good food. I like that. I was last there, oh God, this is scary, 18 years ago. And I imagine it's completely different now. Talk about grapes that are grown there, because again, Dr. Frank, even including the word vinifera in his cellar name, his winery name, Concord grapes have always been, isn't Welch's got one of their biggest production facilities there in New York?
Yes. Actually, Welch's is owned by a group called the National Grape Cooperative Association, which is a cooperative of Concord grape growers. And they are based in the far western part of New York State in the Chautauqua region, or what we call the Lake Erie region as well. And in fact, 2/3 of all New York grapes are Concord grapes that are used for grape juice. So it's a very, very large industry. There are some Concords grown in the Finger Lakes that are also shipped out to the Lake Erie region for processing. But yeah, we're a major, the second major grape juice state after Washington State.
That's so cool. The increase in popularity of vinifera, Riesling, for example, or I've had some magnificent Chardonnay from Finger Lakes. It's cool climate Chardonnay. You should expect that, but it's great. I know red wine has been a hard thing to ripen in the short growing season, but I've also had some pretty cool red wines from Finger Lakes. Give us your overview of what you think are the most popular grapes that consumers might find on the shelf.
Well, you know, it's really interesting, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, because this industry is one of constant change. It's just amazing. First of all, you have the change every year. The reason you have vintages in the wine industry anywhere in the world is because every year is different than the previous year relative to the, you know, the growing climate, the amount of sunshine, when the grapes become ripe and all that kind of thing, which does make a difference. So you can compare vintages. And of course you have innumerable grape varieties. So there's a huge amount of difference there. And the artistic philosophy of the winemakers and so forth. But in what's been happening in New York is, first of all, years ago, before Dr. Frank, people said that we could not grow these vinifera European types of grapes, Riesling, Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Cabernet Sauvignon, could not grow them here, period, because the climate wasn't right. Dr. Frank proved otherwise, and especially with the really cold, hardy grapes like Riesling, which is mostly in Germany, which is a cold climate as well. Not surprisingly, these are the ones that stood out at the beginning. But then as we got smarter and did more experimentation and shared knowledge with one another, We've had a whole bunch of different waves. So now dry rosés from any kind of different red variety are the rage. But also red wines from the Finger Lakes, like Syrah. I would have never, ever even thought about Syrah from the Finger Lakes. You think about it as Australian, a really hot climate wine. But the winner of our competition last year, the best in show wine out of nearly 1,000 wines, was a Syrah from the Finger Lakes.
Oh, that's great.
And yeah, as you mentioned, cool climate. It is definitely a cool climate Syrah, and that is not a negative. It's a positive. So compared with the big blockbuster wines from a hot climate, this basically has elegance and finesse, and it's a sipping wine. But it's also a great food wine that will stand up to lamb and beef and everything else as well. So there's a constant evolution that is really exciting to watch. And the reason for it is because the winemakers are never satisfied with where they are. They always want to get better. They always want to try the new thing together. And it's really fun to watch.
I got to get back. I'm gonna try and get back sometime here in early 2018. Folks, if you just joined us, boy, you missed the first part. Don't forget, you can always get podcasts after the fact at knssradio.com. My first guest today is Jim Trevise. Jim is, president of Wine America, president of the International Riesling Foundation, and former president of the New York Wine and Grape Foundation. A guy loves Riesling, and I'm telling you, if you ever have the opportunity to purchase, and you can at Jacob Liquor Exchange, any of Dr. Constantine Frank's Rieslings or any of the Rieslings from Finger Lakes, you'll be thrilled. And you just heard about some of the other grape varieties that are up and coming, fast moving, and really great quality. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and tell you a little bit about tourism and how you might want to learn more about the Finger Lakes and go visit yourself. I'm Guy Barrett. It's a good life. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.